All right. So good to see all of you here this morning. I'm glad I'm here. There's no other place I'd rather be on a Sunday morning. Woke up Dawn this morning and she was like, "Why are we getting up so early? What's going on?" I'm like, "Well, it's actually Sunday." I think she was traveling and... Clarify, please.
I thought it was Monday.
There you go. See?
My brain, I don't know what I was doing, but I was going to, like, oh, it's not raining, it's garden, and all that. And I was like, why'd you wake up Jeremiah so early on a Monday?
It's been one of these busy weeks. I mean, going through graduation and so many other events going on in that week. It was packed, and I'm looking forward to coming up Monday. So hopefully things would slow down for us. All right, so today we're going to begin a brand new series called Being Perfected. Being Perfected. According to Webster's definition of the word perfect, okay, it's a word that we use. It's kind of like sometimes it's a buzzword for when we say perfect, like, how you doing? Perfect. You know, like, I'll see you at the restaurant, Henry's. Perfect. See you in a little bit. You know, it's kind of like a buzzword. We use that all the time. But the word perfect means being entirely without fault or defect. Right? Being entirely without fault. Could that be a reflection of us today? Is that you? When you think about yourself, like, always without fault. I'm blameless in this situation. You know? That's not entirely true, right? No one can say we are absolutely without fault. Maybe you know somebody, right, who thinks they do, you know, they are without fault. Now, don't look at your spouse, don't look at your neighbor, don't look at anybody. You know, a lot of time it's a reflection upon even ourselves when we think of us as being perfect. Now, let me shock you for just a moment. Do you know that God's desire for you is actually to be perfect? All right? God's desire for you. I can see the looks right now, like, that sounds like a trick question. Well, it is. Okay? Pastors, we tend to do that. We tend to throw in a little trick question just to get you to think a little bit. Now, before you call me crazy and walk out of the building, let me give you the biblical definition of the word perfect. Because we know what Webster's say, but what about what God says about that word perfect? Number one, it comes from a Greek translation of that word. Teleos means complete or lacking nothing. Now, let me ask you a question now. Which one of those two definitions would you rather be? The first one, without fault or complete and lacking nothing. Which one would God want you to be? Most likely would be the second one, right? Complete and lacking absolutely nothing. That's what God sees us as being perfect. Perfect in Him means to be complete and lacking nothing. The path of being entirely without fault, it comes at a price. And that price is oftentimes, it leads to frustration, trying to be perfect. But the other one is being complete is a restful path. Because it has nothing to do with you or with me on what we can do. It's about resting in what God has already done. And that path is a peaceful path. So the focus on our series, this is I'm laying down the foundation, because we're going to be in that series for the next 4 Sundays, okay? The whole month of June, we're going to be on that subject of being perfected. So the foundation is going to be around being complete or lacking nothing because of Jesus. Okay, that's going to be the focus. And being perfected, the title of the message, is not so much a destination, a place where you arrive. It's more like a journey, a place where you travel. And as you travel, just like the picture. The picture, the title picture, it shows the gradual progress of you being perfected in Christ. It's a gradual change from being a baby Christian, a new believer. But God doesn't want you to stay there. God is constantly changing you, perfecting you, changing you to make you more complete. So that when you start growing as a believer, as a child of God, you're no longer you're not staying as a baby, but you're growing and maturing, and that process is the process of being perfected, changed to become more and more like Him. So, if someone were to ask you a question, "Are you perfect?" Right? Are you perfect? You would say no. I'm not. But I am being perfected by a perfect God. I am being perfected by a perfect God. I believe this would start a conversation, right? When you say this, "Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfect by a perfect God. A God who's complete. A God who lacks nothing. And God wants me to be in His image, which is complete. And also lacking nothing. God wants to make us whole." So the start of the conversation would be around Galatians 2:20. That's a good place to start a conversation when somebody is saying, "Are you perfect here?" "No, I'm not. But I am being perfected by God, who is perfect." And it starts with this, Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Now you can end that conversation right there, and it will be good enough. But for the sake of engaging more and more into this conversation, even now, you would carry on reading that the life I now live, that you now see, that we are interacting here as human beings, the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith. See, here's the key word there. I'm living this life here in this body. I'm being perfected, but I'm living this life being perfected by God. I'm doing it by faith. I'm not making it about myself, about what I can do. I'm living by faith because Christ has already done the work for me. And by faith, I'm claiming, I'm believing that I'm complete. I'm lacking nothing because I'm saying it, I'm believing it by faith. Many of you are here probably in pain, suffering, maybe bodily suffering of something that happened, maybe an injury, maybe something that has happened, but you're here today on appointment by God. Why? By faith. A lot of you have traveled long distance, flew in. Some of you guys have flown in overnight just to get here. You're probably tired in the body. Your mind, your body's like, "Oh man, I wish I could sleep in this morning. But here I am." But you're here by faith. You're here by faith, believing that you are made complete because He's already completed the work that needs to be done. So by faith, you stand in this body. "I live by faith in the Son who loved me and gave Himself for me." on this journey of being perfected, it starts with this acknowledgement that I'm dead. Isn't that crazy? You start that journey by acknowledging that it is not about me. I am no longer alive, but He lives in me. Isn't that crazy? It starts with death. It starts with the death of Christ first, and then ours. It starts with the death of Christ, because Christ, you know what? He did it once and for all. Jesus is not going to come back and climb back up on that cross again. He did it once and for all of mankind. That includes you and me. He did it once, but for us, it's a daily thing. It's a daily death to ourself, because that self always wants to creep up and say, you know, you got to strive towards perfection. You got to work at it to be better. But the opposite side of what God is saying, you must die to yourself in order to be complete. Should you do something? No. You should rest in what God has already completed on the cross. It's a daily thing, dying to yourself. It's a daily thing when you surrender to Christ. It's a daily act of picking up your cross and following Him. Daily you do it. You do it on the job. You do it when you're traveling. You do it all the time. You do it as you're parenting your kids. It's a daily cross, a daily task. It's a daily surrender to God. Not your will, but mine be done. In whatever situation that you might be facing here today. It's a daily surrender of, I want to do this. I want to respond in that way. I want to send that text. But guess what? The Holy Spirit comes in and said, hold on. Don't. It's a daily death to yourself. You're putting that self on the cross daily. This is really what it means by picking up your cross and following Christ. You do that every single day. You don't stop. So it starts with this notion of letting go of something old, like the old self, and embracing something that is brand new, the new life that is found in Christ. See, we can always go back to this old life. Because sometimes the old life might be even comfortable. I'm so used to doing things this way. I'm so used to saying this type of words. But when you're embracing that new life, you're letting go of the old and you're embracing something that is brand new. And this brand new life can only be found in Christ. So it's a daily thing when you're doing this. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17... and it says this is what it means. Because a lot of times I'm like, what does it mean? Right? What does it mean? Well, this is what it means. In fact, it starts by saying, this means that anyone, is there anyone here? Anyone, that's you and me. Anyone who belongs to Christ. See, you got to die to yourself first and claim that I'm resurrected now in this new life in Christ. And if anyone belongs to Christ, has become a new person. Oh, wow, that old man is gone. That old Shannon is dead. And he better stay dead. But guess what? That old Shannon always wants to creep back up. Wants to control, wants to do things his own way. But each time I'm being kept in check by the Holy Spirit. No, that old self is dead. Don't bring him back up. Do we have the ability of bringing the old self back? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why it's a daily thing. It's more than once that you have to die to yourself. Because the old self, they always want to come back and take control, take charge. But each time you got to remind this new self, I have been made new. I'm a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Sometimes we got to read these, and those two scriptures over the course of this series, they're going to become the anchor of this series, because I believe we need to be constantly be reminded that we are crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We have to constantly be putting that in the forefront of our life, a constant reminder that we are dead to our old self. Now I'm embracing this new life that is found in Christ, and I'm declaring that the old life is gone and a new life has begun. How about today? How about right here, right now? Even before we start talking about anything else, by saying new life starts right now, right here in me. That's where it starts. You don't need, it's not like you got to wait, oh, at the end of the service, I'm going to do it. What if you don't make it at the end of the service? Imagine that for a moment. What if you don't make it at the end of the week? What if you don't make it at the end of the month? How about right here, right now, and embracing this new life that is found in Christ and in Christ alone? So if we start this journey there, I guarantee you, you'll be perfected. You would grow from this baby stage and keep growing into this person, this wonderful person that has life, that has purpose, that has vision, that God has put inside of you before you were even born. Imagine that. There's a point of intersection that you have to make in your life where you're embracing the vision that God has spoken over you even before you were born, according to Jeremiah, right? You were before you were even born, that plan was already set into motion. But at some point in time, in your natural life, those two have to meet. They got to reach a point where they intersect, where you actually say this, I have been crucified with Christ. Because Christ has already been crucified, but now you're acknowledging that I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ today lives in me. And because he lives in me, I now belong to him. Not even to my old self, because my old self is gone. A new life, a new me, a new version of me is now available for God to use for his glory. At that moment, you can say, I'm on the path of being perfected by God. So throughout this series, and today I'm going to lay down a foundation. And it starts with this acknowledgement. It's going to be hard for some of you to hear it, but it starts with this. I am not perfect. It's a simple acknowledgement, but it starts there. I am not perfect. I don't think I need to convince you here on my side. It's pretty obvious. Just kind of look the way that I'm dressed. In fact, I think if everybody's okay with that, I think I'm going to lose this. I'm looking more and more like Pepto-Bismol. Thank you. Getting a little hot. So, if you don't believe me that I'm not perfect, ask Dawn. She will give you an honest answer. Seriously, she will tell you that, hey, yeah, he's not perfect. He's not a perfect husband. He's not a perfect father. And guess what? I'm not a perfect pastor either. It's a fact. It's the truth. I have to come to the place that I have to come here and being able to be open about this by saying, I am not perfect. I'm not. But I'm on a journey of being perfected. I have been on this journey for 30 years. How's that going, Pastor? Well, I can tell you how it's going. I'm not the same person that I used to be 30 years ago. I've changed. I'm being perfected by him. Constantly changing. God recognizes that Shannon is of a sinful nature. Isn't that crazy? Shannon, him, the pastor of the church, is of a sinful nature. But I've died for him. I've shed my blood for him. I'm perfecting him because he's in me. The old life that he used to have, he's no longer embracing this life. He's let go of that old man. He's embracing the new man. My grace is enough for Shannon. So because of that, God has not rejected me. God has not looked at my sinful nature and judged me and said, you know what, we don't need this guy. We don't need him anymore. He's too much of a sinful nature. Let's put him to the side. Let's pick somebody else. But guess what? Everyone is in that same boat as me. That includes you. That includes everyone. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. See, he didn't wait. He didn't wait until his son come and was the perfect lamb for to say, you know what, there's perfection here. The perfection was made for imperfect people like you and me. Christ was without sin. He was the perfect lamb, but he died for imperfect people, sinners like you and me. So God will take us just the way we are, but he's too good. He's too good of a God to just say, you know what, I'm just going to take Shannon the way he is, but I'm going to leave him a baby. I'm going to make him stay a baby. He's going to die a baby. That's not God. God doesn't want us to die a baby. God wants us to grow, to mature, to change, to become more and more like him. That is the plan. That is the purpose. Otherwise, the plan that he has devised for each and every one of us cannot be accomplished if we stay baby. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to change, to become more and more like him. But first, he must come to the place where you and I and him, we acknowledge that we are not perfect. Because if we say we are perfect, we don't need him. We don't need him. So it comes to the place where you say, there's a void in my life, and that void can only be filled by this perfect God. It cannot be my job. It cannot be my career. It cannot be booze. It cannot be sex. It cannot be anything else but God. When you come to the place where you acknowledge that and you see the void, and you see, you acknowledge that, hey, I'm not perfect. But I'm not going to stay there. Because there's a God that has died for me. That has given his all for me. And his role is to perfect me. To change me. To renew me. So that that old man can stay dead. That is the goal. That old man needs to stay dead. We don't need to be dragging old man behind us, because old man will pull us down. And God said, you got to cut the cord. You got to let that old man dead and never bring him back up again. But it comes to the place where first we must acknowledge that we aren't perfect. And the scripture is Romans 3:23. That should bring it to a level ground for every single one. Including the pastor. This brings it to a level ground for every single soul. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of the glorious standard of God. See the glorious standard. We all fall short of the perfection of God. That's the glorious standard. See, God has standards. They're perfect standards. There's nothing that is lacking or missing in God's standard. His standard is what the mark is. And God is saying here that we've all sinned and we've all fall short of God's perfect standard. First of all, you know, everyone, who's everyone? That's you, that's me. That's all of us. That's the level ground. That's when we say, you know, we use that in the common Christianese, you know. We say it's level ground at the cross, right? You've heard that, right? It's always level ground at the cross. It is. It is. Everyone has sinned, and we've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. I mean, sin. The word sin here pops out, right? Everyone has sinned. I mean, sin here ranges from lying about your age, for one, or murdering someone, and everything in between. That's a big range, right? From lying about your age. Have you ever lied about your age? I'm not that old. Well, I'm old. Just turned 51. Maybe I don't look old. Some people say I don't look old. But I'm not going to lie about my age. This is my age. But if I did lie about my age, guess what? It would have been a lie, and it would have been a sin. It would be just the same as I murdered somebody. There's no distinction between this sin and this sin. It's all the same. There's not a little category of sin, and then this one is a big one. This is a big one. No, they're all the same. They're all the same, whether you lie or you murder. It's all the same to God. And we've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. God has only one standard. That is without sin. That's perfection. That's the standard. That's the standard. But here's where I want to drive your attention to. Is that word sin. See, the root of that word sin comes from the Greek and gives you the context, a sporting context. I don't know if you knew this about that word sin. In the Greek, it's talking about archery. Isn't that crazy? It's talking about this. Archery. A bullseye. All of that is bringing that scripture there into context. And what it's saying here from that scripture says everyone has missed the bullseye. Everyone has missed the bullseye. I want that to sink for a minute. Everyone has missed the bullseye. While you might be hitting the target, but not every single one of your shot is in that bullseye. See, that's the standard. Not every single shot can hit the bullseye. You cannot hit the bullseye every single time. You cannot hit the bullseye every single day, every single hour, every single minute, every single second. Because why? You are not perfect. Only God can hit the bullseye every single time. Any marksmen here that, you know, go to the range? And Kyle is like, yeah, he's pretty good shot. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but I look at him. I know his background. I know he can do it. But even Kyle, in all how good he is, he'll never be a perfect marksman. Always hitting the bullseye. He's not perfect. Perfectionism is what I would say an unreachable goal. If you have a goal of, you know what, I'm going to be the perfect person. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you. It's not going to work. You're never going to be able to reach the level of being perfect. Ouch. I'm supposed to be encouraging you, and I'm bringing it back down to a level where you can say, what I'm doing here is just, I'm removing the burden. Maybe that's you. You've always had this, well, I must be perfect. I must reach this goal of perfection. It's impossible for humans to be perfect. That is the purpose of Romans 3:23, saying, you know what? Quit trying. Quit trying to be perfect. Quit trying to make this your goal. Because you know why? That's going to create a lot more stress in your life. Because it is an unreachable goal. No matter how good you think you are, it's never going to be good enough without God. No matter how good you think you are as a father, you'll never be good enough to the level of perfection. As a husband, as a spouse, it'll never be as good as the level of perfection. Why? Because it is impossible for you to hit the bullseye every single time. I hope this morning that removes a lot of the burden that you've been carrying, trying to be perfect. So the question remains now. See, I'm gonna really encourage you this morning. So the question is, what's the penalty? I mean, you know, not all of them are hitting the bullseye. And we've come to the place where we all can admit that we can't do it ourselves either. Hit the bullseye every single time. So the question is, what is the penalty? Is there one if you don't hit the bullseye? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I think this is a fair question to ask. So, okay, I've missed it, but what is the penalty? Well, I'm going to give you the penalty. Romans 6:23. Now, that's an ouch right there. And you know where I'm going with that. The wages is the penalty, right? The wages of sin is what? Are you kidding me? I mean, seriously, are you kidding me? It's saying the penalty for missing the bullseye is death. I thought we'd gone through this question already that, you know what, I've already died in Christ. But the penalty still remains the same. It's all level ground. We're having the same standard. And God is saying here that the penalty of sin, which if we say sin, is missing the bullseye. And he says the penalty for missing the bullseye is death. My goodness. But then he goes on, he says, but the free gift of God, this is like the fine print that you have to really look into afterwards. But really the main thing is like, man, the penalty for missing the bullseye is death. And then you read the fine print, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. La, la, la. I mean, you know, but the main thing is actually the penalty for missing the bullseye is actually death. And God's standard is perfect. So how do we reconcile this between you and me? Is that possible? Is that possible for us to hit the bullseye every single time? Absolutely not. But here's where the grace of God comes in. God knows that you and I will never be perfect. We cannot hit the bullseye every single time. You know what God did? Because we're not that perfect marksman. That's going to sink in a minute there. God provided a marksman for you and me. I don't think you've ever looked at it that way. God provided a marksman for you. Because you cannot hit the bullseye every single time. He provided a marksman for you. And his name is Jesus. Maybe you've never looked at it that way before. But I hope I'm connecting the dots for you. Romans 3:23 says that we all have sinned. We've all missed the bullseye. We've all missed the mark. And the penalty for missing the mark is actually death. But God provided a marksman for us to always hit the mark for us, the bullseye. John 3:16. Here's the dot being connected now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. There was only one marksman that God could send. And that was his own son. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the perfection was sent by God the Father through his own Son. He's the marksman that we need to take our place when we need to aim at being a better pastor. I can't hit the mark every single Sunday. Some days I'm like, I'm tired. Some days I wear the wrong clothes. I'm like today, it was like a wrong kind of outfit. Only found that out after I got to church. I'm like, oh man, I look like Pepto-Bismol. But I didn't see that in the morning. I'm getting dressed. I'm like, hey, look fine. Then I get here. I'm like, man, that doesn't look right. So you do what you got to do. You can never hit the perfect mark. But God sent somebody. His name is Jesus. He said, you know what? I'll take your place. I know you're not going to be good there. You're not going to give the right message. You're not going to deliver it the way that I need to deliver it. But I'm stepping in. I'm taking your place. Would you shut up? See, this is basically what the Holy Spirit does every single time. Just keep it down, Shannon. Just keep it down. Let me take your place. Let me step in. Let me take over. Let me take control. That's the way that God works in your life, by the way. On the job, when you don't know what to do, you're facing some kind of problem. And if you allow the marksman to step in, guess what he'll do? He'll aim for you. You just sit back and watch him. You watch him aim and he'll get that bullseye for you because he's taken your place. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. For whoever believes in him will not perish, will not miss the mark, but will have eternal life, will have the perfection that God has made available for you and me. But this journey starts with us acknowledging him, believing in him, but also acknowledging him that, hey, I've got Jesus and he has taken my place. And in Romans 10:9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. You will have that eternal life. But it starts with us admitting that we are not perfect. And openly declaring that Jesus himself is the perfect one. And he is all the perfection that I will ever, ever need. Isn't that amazing when we start looking at the scripture from that standpoint? It takes away the pressure of trying to perform. Because if you take away the pressure of performing in your life and resting in what God has done, man, life would be without stress. Life would be without stress when you're resting in what, hey, you know what, I'm just going to trust God there. You're not just going to quote it from a religious point of view, like, oh, I know the scripture. I'm going to quote that scripture. But do you really believe it? Are you really applying that scripture in your life where you actually say, I identify with this, I'm not perfect, but I've got a perfect marksman that is coming in to take my place. When he takes my place, I will hit the mark every single time. Because it's not about me. It's about him. So every time when we're reconciling this in our own mind, in our own life, on a day-to-day basis, it's a daily thing. It's a daily struggle of trying to let God be in charge. And stepping to the side and say, you know what? Have your way, Lord. Let your will be done and not mine. That's the biggest struggle that we face as humans. Because we want to take control. We want to be in charge. Number two is Jesus is perfect. Easy to admit, right? Jesus is perfect. How do we know this? How do we know that he is perfect? We go back to the Word. We go back to the Word, and the Word of God will always prove what we're believing. And if we're believing the wrong thing, the Word of God will also provide us the direction. That is what the Word of God is there for. To validate what God has said. to validate his son, to validate the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest, referring to Jesus, who is unable to empathize with what? Our weaknesses, imperfections, if you will. He's saying we don't have a marksman who cannot understand our imperfection. He knows. He knows the weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did it without sin. He did not sin. In other words, Jesus understands our imperfection. He understands that we will miss the bullseye. But it does not judge us, rejects us for being imperfect. That's how the grace of God works. Because it's not about you. It's not about the accomplishments. It's not how long you've been in the church. It has nothing to do with all of that. It has everything to do with recognizing that he's the marksman for your life. He's the Savior. He's the King. And he sits on the throne of your life. And along this journey that we are living by faith. See, Jesus saved us as this little baby Christian. But he doesn't want us to remain there as a baby. So constantly he's changing. He's molding. He's shaping. He's applying pressure in the right places. Next week I'm going to be talking about that, where the pressure comes. Pressure is not a bad thing. When God is molding, he's applying certain level of pressure, squeezing out of you things that don't belong. That's why you feel, oh man, ouch, like a little ouch when you come to church. That word like really spoke to me. Oh, that word is challenging me. That's a pressure that God is applying to shape you, to mold you into what he wants you to become. Because he doesn't want you to remain this baby. He wants you to grow so you can start standing on your own. Maturing as a believer. Maturing as a father. Maturing as a spouse, as a wife. And moving forward with him. Trusting him along the way that he's behind you. He's pushing you forward. The word is prospering. He's pushing you forward so that you can trust him more. And on this journey, he's doing all of that. And he's having you in his mind. Number three is, I am being perfected. I am being perfected. That's an acknowledgement. That's an acknowledgement that I am being perfected by God. Right before Jesus was crucified, he prayed an important prayer for all of us. And I want to read this to you in John chapter 17. He says, I do not pray for these alone. These is referring to the disciples. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. And that is you and me. I put those into brackets so we can understand the context and the people that the prayer is for. Jesus is praying for you and me. He says that they all may be one, as you, Father, and are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made, here's that word, that they may be made what? Perfect. See, even Jesus prayed that prayer for you and me, that we may be made perfect. And the world may know that you sent me, and I've loved them as you have loved me. See, when we are complete in Him, because the word perfect here is not referring to the Webster's definition of being without fault, is referring to the Greek definition of that word, which is complete and lacking nothing. So Christ prayed there that we will be complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. What Jesus is saying I am the only one who completes you. Jesus is saying that only in Him can we become complete, perfect, lacking nothing. Friends, if you don't remember a whole lot from this message, and I hope it's a challenging message. I don't want it to be just like, oh, you know what? It's just a pepped up message just for me to just feel good. I hope it challenges you. I hope it does. I hope it gets you to the place where you reflect, maybe on that old man that you've been carrying around. Because that whole old man would always judge you, will always make you feel like you're less than enough. But when you cut loose of that old man and you embrace the new man that is found in Christ, the burden is lifted. Because now you've left that old man behind and you're embracing this new life that is found in Christ. I hope you realize and you come to the place where you can admit that I am not perfect, but I am being perfected by God. He's making me complete to the point where is enough for me. Is enough for me. I don't need anything else if all I can have is Jesus. That is the place where the whole thing merges. Where you read the powerful promises of God in His Word. And you bring them to the place at the cross where you can admit that, hey, I don't deserve any of this. I don't. But you, Jesus, you died, but you made these promises available to me. Your son, your daughter. And I believe in you. I acknowledge you. That is the reason why we come to church. To be able to get to that place where there is this common ground. There is no distinction between you and me. We are in this place where we are together, yearning for the love of our God. Getting to the place where we trust Him. We believe in Him. As we get ready to take communion, would you please stand? We'll do communion together. I want to bring one more scripture to your attention. It's in Hebrews 10:14. It makes sense to what we're doing today. Do you remember last week when I talked about remembrance? Something that we do every single time to remember the sacrifice that He made. Today is a day of remembrance also. It's not just on Memorial Day where we remember. We remember every single day that we've been crucified with Christ. It's a daily thing. It is no longer I who live, but He who lives in me. And this is the symbolic meaning of what we're doing here today as we take communion. In Hebrews 10:14 it says, "For by one offering," talking about Jesus Himself, "He forever made" what? Here's that word again. Perfect. He made perfect those who are being made holy. Not those who are holy, being made holy. Being, we are constantly being changed so that each and every day we are looking more and more like Him. One offering, one sacrifice that He made on the cross that paid the price for all of us. So I want you to take the bread. And as you get ready to partake, I want you to remember the perfect sacrifice that He made. Would you take and eat? That bread represents His body. That sacrifice that symbolizes the perfection that is found in Him. It makes sense today to acknowledge that you are being perfected by this perfect sacrifice. One offering. Just one. And when you take the cup and you drink, I want you to remember the perfection of His blood. The perfection of the blood of Christ that covers sicknesses, diseases. All sin is covered by the blood of Christ. It's symbolic for the covenant relationship that we have with Him. That one offering, the Son of God, the perfect marksman, the one who came to take your place because you couldn't do it by yourself. So when you're taking this, you're acknowledging the perfect sacrifice that He made. Would you take and drink? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for what You've done. Today, healing is flowing in each and every one of us. Where we're standing right now, we're standing on the place where that was blood bought by Christ. Healing in our body right now. I speak that in the name of Jesus over each and every one of us. Healing in our minds, in our soul, and certainly in our physical body. I speak strength to each and every one of you. Speak doors to be opened, opportunities to shine in front of you. I pray that the Lord will lead you, would guide you, and will provide for you. I declare that no weapon formed against you will prosper, because you belong to Christ. That whatever harm that the enemy is trying to do in your life, to bring confusion, to bring fear. I want you to be able to come at the enemy, to remind him of the perfect sacrifice that was made. You want to remind the enemy that there is a marksman that is shooting, aiming on your behalf. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. You could have been many other places, but here you are. You chose to be here in the presence of God.